Romans chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible reads like this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? I want you to notice this, verse 14, how. It starts off with how. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? That's number one. How can you call on somebody that you don't even believe in?
Yeah.
All right, let's look at this. This will be my meat of my message here tonight. The second how. And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? Well, how can they, if they haven't believed on him, how can they believe in him if they haven't heard? This gets a little confusing. I'm going to try to take my time to preach this. And once again, here's this same word again. How, number three. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Whew, hallelujah.
Yes.
My, it makes me want to shout right there. Yes. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, verse 15, the fourth how. We'll preach on four hows here tonight. And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Thank you for standing here. Amen. Today, tonight, for the reading of the word of the Lord, I'd like to preach a little bit about these hows, if you will. Amen. Of evangelism. Great God. I believe in evangelism, don't you?
Yes.
Amen. The Apostle Peter wrote, God was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. Amen. That's 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9. Anyone who dies outside of salvation dies against the choice, against God's desire, I should say. Amen. Did you know it's God's desire for every man to be saved, Brother Daniel?
Right.
Hallelujah. That's right. I believe with all my heart. I believe it's the will of God for every man, woman, boy, and girl to be saved.
Yes. Sure.
Praise God. But I was taught this from a young age. And I've never forgot this. Michael Lurie used to really put this in us. But every man, woman, boy, and girl in this house tonight has been given a free moral choice.
Yeah.
You got a free will, if you will. You got a will to live how you want to live.
Right. Sure.
Woo, come on now.
That's right.
If you want to live life as a heathen, you can do that. Go down there and look at the jails. They're plumb full of people that live life how they want to live.
Right.
Glory to God.
Right.
Amen. And But I believe it's the will of God first to be saved. I already mentioned John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Right.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has done his part in the redemption plan. Did you know that the redemption plan is already complete?
Yes, it is.
Woo.
Hallelujah. Sure.
Amen. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, the plan of redemption was complete.
All right.
You and I have a way that we can be saved. Amen.
Right.
And we'll get into this in a minute. And this plan of redemption that I'm starting off talking about tonight. Amen. The book of Romans here, Paul, to teach it to us, Brother Earl, is telling us that if this simple plan of salvation is preached, amen, that it'll save a multitude of sinners from their sin.
Right.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I still believe it works tonight.
It still works.
Hallelujah.
Still good.
I tell you, Brother Earl, if I didn't believe it worked, I wouldn't be preaching.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
If I didn't believe it worked, I wouldn't have been traveling, amen, far and wide all summer long to preach. Amen. I tell you what, I believe in the preaching of the Word of God.
Right. Sure.
Brother George, I'll go a little bit deeper than that. The reason I am what I am, amen, is because of the preaching of the gospel. Amen. Hey, God in heaven. And I believe if you'd be honest with yourself, you tell yourself tonight the reason you are, I'm speaking spiritually wise, amen, where you are spiritually and where you are in God is because of the preaching of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for the spoken and the preached Word of God. Hallelujah. God is not willing that any should perish according to the scripture. Right. But someone has been willing, amen, thank God, to go their own way. But Lord, help us in this day and in this hour to preach the word of God. How shall they, who is they, the lost, call upon someone that they don't know about, praise God.
Yeah.
How shall they believe in someone that they have not heard of? And how shall they hear without a preacher, thank God? And how can the preacher preach unless God sends him? Amen. That is the plan of God. Those four hows, Brother Earl, is God's plan to save the world from their sin. That plan, amen, that I just laid out to you right there is enough to save the heathen, amen, over there in the jungles of Africa, amen. Thank God for the preached word of God, amen. Let me say it clearly right here tonight. There is absolutely no place, amen, in the army of God for us to just be a spectator. Amen. Brother Jason, I'm not a preacher. Amen. But I tell you what, your life is an epistle that is read of all men. Whether you believe it or not, whether you believe it or not, right here tonight, your life is being an example to somebody.
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Sure.
Yes. Amen. The life that you live is leading an example for somebody. Maybe a child, maybe a family member, maybe somebody at work, maybe somebody in the church. Somebody's looking at your life.
Somebody, come on.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
But you see, Beth, we're just getting started. Amen. Sunday morning Christianity is far removed from our biblical responsibility. Yes, salvation is free. Listen to me. Amen. You can be saved. You can't pay one dime for salvation.
Right.
Salvation is free, Brother Tom,
free
to whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says they shall be saved. Amen. I don't care if you're a millionaire and you had $1 million on your dying deathbed. You can't give $1 million to the best priest or preacher or amen, or what they call them, popes or nothing else. You can't give enough money to be saved.
You're right.
Come on now.
So how can I be saved, Brother Jason? I'll tell you how you can be saved. Amen. It takes the convicting power of God. Amen.
Yes.
It takes God to come down inside of your heart. Amen. And once again, the simplicity of the gospel. You must hear the preached word of God to be saved.
Yes,
it's the only way. It's the only way in the word of God that you can find that a person will be saved. Amen. They must hear the gospel. I'm about to feel like shouting right here. I think I might shout all by myself. I come to tell you, amen, if you want to, you can raise a Bible, but I think most of us in this house can raise our Bible. You've got the most powerful thing in all the world right there under your arm right here tonight. Woo! Praise God. Amen. It's not what's the most powerful thing in America? Most would hold up a dollar and say the American dollar is powerful. We could say the atomic bomb. We could say our military strength. But you're wrong 1,000 times over. The most important thing that America has is the word of God. Hallelujah. And Paul said, amen, if it would be preached, amen, come on, it would save the sinner from his sin. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I'm not like preaching here.
Come on now.
Amen. Yes, salvation is free. Amen. But discipleship is a whole other matter. Discipleship requires your time. If you're going to get saved and live for God, it's going to cost you your time. Oh, yeah. Amen. What else is it going to cost me, Brother Jason? It's going to cost me resources. It's going to cost me talent. Amen. Discipleship. Amen. Great God in heaven is going to be rewarded one of these days. Let me tell you something, Brother Earl. You don't get out there in them ditches and dig all week long. Get soaking wet sometimes. Brother Tom, when you worked driving them trucks, amen, wee hours of the morning and wee hours of the night. Amen. Come on, Brother Tommy working there at the steel mill. All them years I could go through, Brother Kevin. Amen. Running that shipyard over there. Amen. All of you, I could go down and list your jobs. You didn't do that just to see you could show up and put your smiley face on and go to work. I tell you why you did it. You put up with some mouth that you didn't want to put up with.
Yeah.
You put up with your back hurting that you didn't. Amen. You'd rather stay home. You went to work sick. Why? Because you knew one day I'm going to get paid for my time. Praise God. I come to tell the church, you might not get paid so much down here, but God is going to pay you for your time. Amen. There's going to be rewards in heaven one day.
Come on.
We got to have a desire. Amen. To get the gospel out. We got to have a desire to win the lost for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? It is a tragic reality in this day of communication that most of the world does not even know the plan of salvation. Let me tell you something here tonight. You could go down there to the Huntington Mall and stand back there like they do when they take polls. That's how they do it. They just get out in the public and they randomly ask people questions. I know you could get up there somewhere, maybe down at the Pullman Square in Huntington, and pick you out 10 men or women, amen, and just randomly ask them questions, and you could say, ma'am or sir, could you tell me the plan of salvation? What is God's plan to win a soul? Amen. How a soul can be saved from their sin. Great God, if you can find 1 out of 10 randomly on the street that can tell you the plan of salvation, amen. The Bible said in the last days there'll be a famine. Amen. Great God. The hearing of the word of God. Let me tell you something. Amen. People don't want to hear it no more. They don't want to listen to it anymore. They want to live their own life. Amen. They want to run their own way. We're living in the famine of the word of God. And people can't even tell you how to be saved.
That's right.
You're right. Yes, Lord.
That's exactly right.
All right. Now you're on a hot seat.
God, have your way, Lord.
There are several in this house tonight that couldn't tell somebody the plan of salvation.
Come on.
Come on now.
Hey, God in heaven. Oh, it ought to be important to us. Amen. Amen. If you don't know how to lead us to Christ, amen, you are not going to bed tonight until you study these scriptures that I'm giving you right here.
That's good.
Hallelujah. You're to hide these words in your heart. Amen. You're to memorize them in your mind. It's more important than a multiplication table. It's more important than your vows. A-E-I-O-N-U. It's more important than the ABCs.
Come on.
I gotta know how to be saved. I gotta know how to win my family. I come to tell us it's important to preach the word of God. Is important. Amen.
Yes it is.
Oh, God. Woo, feel the Holy Ghost on my heart. Hallelujah. Right here tonight. Amen. Oh, I submit to you that the overwhelming majority of Americans do not even know how to be saved. Amen. Oh, yes. But those churches, amen. Did you know that churches in America today, amen, are just drying up? Amen. I read it, really smoked my heart. I think it was last night. And I read a little bit more of it back there this evening. Amen. Of those great preachers of yesteryear, Brother Earl, that filled the Spurgeons, that filled the Metropolitan Tabernacle in Europe. Did you know, really? Amen. The revival that we got in America spread from Europe back in yesteryear.
Yeah.
Amen. The revival that America had. It spread from Europe. But did you know Europe today? Amen. I read where an evangelist said he was over there preaching, amen, in Europe, and he asked the cab driver. He had finished his preaching engagements, and he was on a Sunday in a big city. I can't remember if it was London or where it was. And he told the cab driver, said, I want you to take me to the 5 biggest churches in this city that you know of. And he would walk in the back door and look around on a Sunday night in these these monstrosity churches that yesteryear was filled with hundreds, thousands of souls.
Yeah.
Amen. And this old preacher, amen, said that that cab driver took him to the five largest churches, amen, in Europe, and he walked in the back doors just long enough to scan the crowd. And he said the most he counted, amen, was 35 souls. Oh, God, come to tell us, it's a sad day. Amen. We quit talking about Jesus. Amen. Did you know you don't even talk about him? Well, that's the preacher's job. No, it's your job. When you go to work, you ought to hold your head up high and say, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. People ought to be reading the epistles in your life. Great God, I come to tell us, it's not just the preacher's job. Amen. To spread the gospel, it's your job. Amen. To tell everybody about the goodness of God.
Yes, God. Hallelujah. Woo! That's good right there.
Bless you, hey, Lord.
I spoke my heart. 35. Oh, wow.
Bless you.
The largest crowd. 35. Woo. He said he was told by Europeans themselves that probably 95% of the people in Europe never darken a church door. And can I tell you, it's spreading to America.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
The last major spike we had of church attendance in America, you remember when it was? Amen. 9-1-1. That was the last major, amen, church attendance spike in this country.
Yeah.
When we thought the end of the world was coming, and we thought the Muslims were going to take this country over, and we were at war in this country. I mean, you know what, America? That shows me, Brother Earl. We still know what's right. Amen. Americans, start flocking back to the house of God.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not our businesses that make this country what it is. It's not our wealth and our money. It's the word of God. It's our churches. It's the power of God. And we can't lose it. I said we can't lose the church. We can't lose its power. Or we're going to end up like Europe, backslidden. Amen. And don't have the power of God.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
My God. My.
Lord help us. Amen. Ooh. Amen. Did you know that people know, amen, very little about Jesus? And the Bible asks, how can they call in on him in whom they have not believed? Faith cometh by hearing. They have not believed because they have not heard. How can the Indian in the jungle know about Jesus if he hadn't heard?
Yeah.
I told you the story of Don Rich.
Yeah.
Preaching to the Acuna Indians in the middle Pacific Ocean. And that chief on that island stood up. His sister was dying. And their little war doctors, witch doctors, couldn't heal the chief's sister, who was dying with fever and bloody bugs. She was dying. Amen. So they called. That just don't happen by coincidence. That a man of God was on that island.
Right.
Amen. Brother Rich said that they flew big planes on the bigger islands, and finally they flew a 4 or 6-seater onto the smallest island they could get to, and then they got on a boat, amen, a raft with a motor on it, and went to an island in the middle Pacific that only had 500 citizens, amen, little Acuna Indians living on that island. Oh, and just so happened that chief sister was ready to die, and they had their little war doctors doing their little tap dances, and they couldn't do anything for him. And he said, can your God do anything?
Yeah.
Long story short, he made them get rid of all them witch doctors.
Yeah.
And he said, I believe my God can do something. Woo! Don Rich, and I think it was Neil Bridges, laid hands and prayed like the Bible said, prayed the prayer of faith over the sick, and she recovered.
Woo! All right.
She got up off that sick bed. How can they, amen, grant God here? Amen. How can they believe? Amen. If they ain't even never heard of him. Great God. You know what happened? Ooh. That chief on that island stood up and said, I've never heard of this man named Jesus, but I believe. Ooh. Come on. And by the time Don Rich quit going to them Acuna Islands, I think 400, amen, almost everybody on the island was saved. We got to tell them. We got to tell them about Christ. We got to tell them about the Word of God. It's still powerful. It'll still save. It'll still bring revival. It'll still save a country. It'll still save a city. I said the Word of God is powerful, and we got to believe in the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Woo.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, help us.
Jesus.
Great God. How can a person call on Jesus? Amen. If they don't believe in him, it's impossible. Even in dealing with secular purposes.
Yeah.
A person has to really believe in a purpose before they can sell out to it.
You're right.
Amen.
That's it.
Let me tell you something. If you're going to sell yourself out 100% to a job or to a profession, amen, or to a woman or to a man, you got to believe in that.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
You can't give yourself 100% to something you don't believe in.
That's right.
Woo.
That's right.
Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. Amen. I can't make them believe. Brother Tom, I cannot make somebody believe, but I can tell them about him.
That's it.
Amen. Right. And there's power in the gospel. I said there's power in the gospel. Amen. A sinner come to church. I mean, one of the most vilest men. I think they said he was a drug lord in that city. He had lived a sinful life, but his mom or his wife, one I can't remember, was a Christian. And they had prayed and prayed for this wicked man to get saved. Thank God. So he come to church. Amen. Really surprised everybody in the house. He come to church one night. And there he sat in the church. Thank God. Everybody nervous. We got this wicked man in the house. I wonder why he's here. So the pastor read his text from the Word of God. And he preached the sermon. And after the sermon was over, he gave an oracle. Amen. And that wicked man came up to that altar and he prayed and he gave his life to God. Oh, that pastor feeling good about himself. He asked the man after church, "Sir, what was it in the message that gripped your heart? What did I say? Amen, that got a hold of you?" The man, the wicked man, looked at him and he said, "There wasn't a word you said that got a hold on me." But he said, "When you started and you read them verses from the Bible," he said, "something got a hold on me. And I never remembered the words you said for the rest of the time."
Hey.
It was the scripture from the spoken Word of God.
Yeah.
And I come to tell us there's power in His Word. There's power in the gospel. And it still works today.
Hey.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Jesus. No person is born to call, amen, upon the Lord to save him, nor any person is going to surrender and dedicate all he is and all he has to the Lord unless he truly believes, amen,
yeah,
in the Lord.
Right.
Hallelujah. And it's your job and it's my job to tell him about him.
Right.
Woo. Yeah. Tell him about him. God in heaven. And I forgot a major point of that. I forgot a major point of that story that I told about Rich over there in the Macuna Islands. When they got in there praying for that woman, she was so weak she could hardly speak. But when she went in to pray, and when he went in to pray, he said, "We're going to pray that our God, amen, is going to touch your body and heal you." Amen.
All right.
And she said, "Amen. What's your God's name?" And Brother Rich said, "His name is Jehovah, and he has a son." Amen. And she said, "What's his son's name?" And he said, "His name is Jesus."
Woo.
I said, "His name is Jesus." Emmanuel.
Hallelujah.
God with us. Hey, I come to tell us, Jesus is still
heaven whereby we can be saved, but through by the name of Jesus.
Right.
Yes. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Let me tell you something. The only way a person can be saved is through the blood of Jesus Christ.
That's it.
That's right.
I'm not here to refute doctrines. I believe in baptism, but baptism can't save you.
Right.
Sure.
Amen. Oh, yes. I believe in sanctification, but sanctification don't save you. Right. You get sanctified because you are saved. Yeah. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe in the speaking of tongues, but that don't save you.
Right, right.
Woo. You do that when you get saved.
That's it.
Come on now. What? I'm preaching simple to us here tonight. What can wash away my sin?
Oh,
nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I tell you what'll save a man when he calls upon the very blessed Son of God. Jesus, have mercy on me. Amen. And the Bible says that Jesus stood still when that blind man cried, have mercy on me. He'll still stand still today. He'll still listen to us today when we cry, have mercy on me.
Yes, God. Amen.
Well,
great. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Great God. Only got number one hell. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
All right.
How can they call on him in whom they have not believed? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what?
Word of God. Word
of God. Word of God. Yeah. I thought you'd be shouting by now. I really did. Glory to God. Most Americans haven't even heard the gospel preached.
Wow.
True.
That's true. Yeah. Well,
they've heard a church line. They've heard a doctrinal spiel. They've heard denominational theology. But they ain't really truly heard about Jesus Christ.
Amen. You're right.
The one that can save them from their sin. The one that can get them off alcohol.
Yeah.
The one that can get them off dope and drugs. The one that puts marriages back together.
Come on.
Woo. The one that can reach that wayward child that's in a far country. Thank God. Hey, I got theology and I got doctrine. I don't want you to think I'm talking bad about that. I believe it. I believe the Bible teaches doctrine. Amen. But great God, when somebody comes in and they don't even know about Jesus, we don't need to preach theology to them. We need to preach Jesus to them.
That's it.
And once Jesus gets in their heart, they'll learn doctrine. Yeah. They'll learn theology. They'll learn holiness. But we got to get them saved. We got to tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
I feel like we failed in a lot of areas because we always say, why don't you come down to my church?
About Jesus.
Come down to church. Come down to church. Come to church. Come to church. We need to learn a little bit more than that.
Come on.
We need to tell them about Jesus.
Exactly.
Amen. Have you ever heard of a man named Jesus?
Right.
If he gets in your heart, he'll change who you are. He'll give you a reason to live. He'll take depression away.
Come on.
He'll take oppression away. He'll take the craving of dope and drink. Great God, we got to give him Jesus.
Come on.
Right.
That's right.
Woo. Yes.
I believe that with all my heart. So how can they believe?
Yeah.
Pastor, preachers, evangelists, teachers.
Yeah.
Amen. We can go right on down the list. You've got the ultimate responsibility to preach Jesus Christ every chance you get.
Amen.
So true. True, Lord.
Hallelujah. If the mailman don't run, Brother Daniel, you don't get your mail for the day. If the milk truck breaks down, you don't get milk. Amen. Praise God in heaven. I was down there in Westmoreland one day. We was mowing yards in the garbage truck. It's a bad one to break down. That garbage truck broke down, Brother George. He spilled the hydraulic fluid all the way down that street. They was out there with stuff trying to clean that mess up. But guess what? Amen. That whole block stuck for a day because a garbage truck broke down. Amen. Oh, that's a bad day, but the worst case scenario, the garbage didn't run.
Yeah.
Oh, if the preacher don't preach.
Come on.
We got a generation going to hell.
Come on, my.
You're right.
If we don't preach and believe the importance of the Word of God, our children are ending up lost without God.
Amen.
Lost.
Oh, God.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Is that all you can handle?
Oh, that's it.
Let's at least get number two. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?
Yeah.
I kind of equated this with the first one. The question must be asked, why have people not heard about Jesus? We must ask that question. Why haven't they heard about him? Well, we can say many won't listen, and that's right. Some people have heard about Christ, but they don't want to listen.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't keep us from continuing to intercede and remain faithful to the call of Christ. If that husband of yours is lost, if your wife is lost, if that wayward child is lost, you keep on calling out to God. They might not listen right now, but there's coming a day Jesus will reach their heart.
Amen.
Most Christians don't share their faith often enough, if at all. You know, did you know in the book of Mark chapter 16, it tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? If that ain't enough, he tells us in Mark chapter 13 and 10, Christ he gives them a command once again to preach into all the world. Luke 24, 47, go into all the world and preach. Amen. It's found in Acts chapter 1 and 18. Amen. And even in the book of Psalms 96 and 3 says, declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders amongst all people. Amen. Tell the world about Jesus.
Tell the world.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Woo! The strength of the church. You know, a lot of times people will step back and say, that's a strong church, that's a good church. I believe the strength of the church lies in the burden of that church.
Yeah.
If the burden of the people in the church is how many services I can miss without the preacher getting mad at me, that's the wrong burden.
That's right.
Come on.
Woo!
Exactly.
Well, I'll get there when I can. You know, life's busy nowadays.
Mm. No burden.
Oh, yes, God.
I'll tell you, the strength of the church is when the people in that church has a burden for souls.
Amen. Yes, God. Yes.
Matter of fact, it wasn't really what spawned this message, but Brother Kurt was telling me one time, and he's been far and wide, and he told me, he said, I guess one of the strongest, best churches that I've ever been in my life was Savannah. Down in Savannah, Georgia. Savannah Holy Church of God down there. And Brother Kurt said, I'll tell you why. He said that somebody in that church had been out of church for years. They'd been away from God for a long time. And he said they come inside of the church and God got to dealing with them and they came to the altar. And he said, I guess, I don't think he gave a percentage, but he said the majority of that church circled that soul. And they wept and cried bitter tears and said, oh, God, save them.
Oh,
that's the strength of a church when we care about souls. Woo! When we care about one another. We don't care about what color the carpet is. We don't care, amen, about our little eyes and big U's. Come on. But thank God we care about the kingdom of God and the souls of men and women.
That's it.
Jesus.
Burden for the lost.
My. I done all right.
Great, brother.
How can people believe in someone whom they have not heard? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Americans spend more time on everything under the sun instead of church and missions and the work of God.
Yeah.
I've said this before, but I come across it a second time. I came across this the second time. Americans spend more in pets. Pets.
Yeah.
Than we do missions and spreading the gospel in this country.
Oh, God, yeah.
Did you know pets is a multi-billion dollar industry in America?
Oh, yeah.
Are you preaching against pets, sure. Brother Jason? Absolutely not. Yeah. We've got a pet. But Americans spend more on pets than we do the gospel.
Yes.
It's true.
That's why America's in a backslidden condition.
Yes, it is.
Oh, God. That's why our churches are bare. That's why, amen, we don't have a burden anymore for the gospel because we've got our minds on everything else.
Oh, God,
oh, God. Can you handle one more?
Come on.
How shall they hear?
Preach it.
That preacher. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, it pleased God to save them that believe by the foolishness of
preaching.
Yes,
Lord.
Amen.
Oh, God.
Oh,
woo!
God.
Let me tell you before I quit here. If you got a preacher that'll preach you the unadulterated word of God, you got a valuable commodity.
Yes, you do.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Oh, God.
That's exactly
right. Woo! What kind of preaching? New Testament Bible preaching included. Amen. Thank God. We read that the believers went everywhere preaching the message of salvation, telling the good news of Jesus Christ and His power to transform lives. Peter's classic sermon on the day of Pentecost saved thousands.
Yeah,
sure did.
And right after that, Brother Tommy, several more thousands got added into the Bible said, and they were added into the church daily.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then by the time they was getting ready to set up deacons, and this is just a side note, they was trying to find seven men full of the Holy Ghost just to set in as deacons of the church.
Right.
But guess how many? You can read Phillips or any of them guys. They said by this time the church had grown to at least 25,000 members.
My Lord.
Woo!
And that's an increase. Come on.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
I feel like shouting. I really do.
Come on.
Preaching of the gospel.
Yeah.
Save sinners.
Amen.
The preaching of the gospel.
Hallelujah.
It'll change cities, Sister Donna.
Yes.
It'll change lives.
Woo. Yes, it will.
Oh, God. Won't you raise your hand right here? Let's ask the Lord to have His way, Lord. God, I just come with this simple message on my heart to preach tonight. Amen. This is making an impact on somebody's life. I feel it.
Hallelujah.
Help us, God, to believe in the gospel. Oh, God. What is preaching? What is preaching? It's the declaration of God's word to an audience.
Yes, yes, yes.
Be it one person. Did you know Jesus preached to one?
Sure did.
And did you know Jesus preached to multitudes?
Yeah.
One soul's worth preaching to.
Come on.
That's right.
You're right. You're right.
He preached to one woman at the well.
Yeah.
And He preached to so many of them that the Bible said, John 6 and 66, and the Bible said that many walked away and followed Him no more.
Yeah.
He preached to multitudes, and He preached to one.
Yes, sir.
Listen to this. The single most important transmission of the Word of God to humanity is the preached Word of God.
Yeah.
I believe that. I stood up there at Lincoln's Memorial. I've listened to, what's his name? Martin Luther, MLK. I've listened to him give that speech, I Have a Dream. Woo!
Yeah.
They got a gift shop way up outside of Lincoln, back there in the right-hand corner. They got a gift shop up there. And they got a picture of MLK standing in front of Lincoln there on the steps. And that whole mall area was filled with thousands on thousands of people. And I stood right there where MLK gave that speech. Woo! Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It done something to me, it really did. But I tell you what, let me tell you something more important than I Have a Dream. Woo! Is the spoken word of God.
Yeah. Praise God.
Oh, God. Woo! Glory to God. I believe it'll change the hearts of men and women today.
Yes, it will.
Glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, a lot of churches can get it mixed up now. We got to get our churches dark. The modern day church, you know what it is? It's a dungeon. They turn the lights off.
Oh, yeah.
They put the strobe lights on the ceiling like you're in a dance hall.
Yeah.
And it's a sing. It's a concert. It's a concert.
Dear Lord.
Did you know the Bible said, amen. How shall they hear unless they have a song?
Hmm.
Is that what he said?
Nobody.
How shall they hear unless they have a skit or something? You know, and I'm for all this. But the Bible said, how shall they hear except they have a preacher?
Jesus.
God called preachers to travel and go into all the world and preach the gospel. He never called singing groups.
That's right.
Yeah. Exactly.
You find me one singing group that Jesus ever sent out, and I'll give you $100 bill tonight.
Come on.
He never sent a singing group out.
Come
on. That's
right. He never sent anybody out to do anything other than preach the gospel.
Amen.
That's it.
what he did.
You're right, brother.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on.
Yes, it's all right.
Preaching healed.
Glory to God.
It's good.
Amen. I'm loving the Lord on you. You've been gone a lot lately. How shall they hear that song? No. How shall they hear without a preacher? This puts tremendous responsibility on the person behind the pulpit. And I like to put on your laps. I know we're a small church, but every preacher in this church, I want you to listen to me. There's great responsibility every time you stand behind this pulpit.
That's a fact.
Great responsibility.
Yeah.
Somebody's life is hanging in the balance. Amen. You can offend
if
you ain't anointed. You can offend if you ain't studied up and got the mind of God.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you can say the right thing in the wrong spirit and still be wrong.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm sad to say, but I did it.
It's true. Yeah.
Said the right thing in the wrong spirit.
Come on,
man.
Help us, Lord.
Glory to God.
Sure.
Jesus.
Amen. Help us, God, here tonight. Woo! Glory to God. You better be ready, preacher.
Be ready.
You preach sermons double, Brother Jason. I do sometimes. But I tell you what, when I get ready to get behind this pulpit, including tonight, I'll wrestle and I'll get nervous and I'll pray and I'll say, God, do I really have it, Lord? I don't want to get up here, Lord, if I ain't got what I need.
Yep.
Amen. You can sing a song 50 times and that's fine and dandy. Amen. And I'm not saying you can't preach sermons twice. Amen. But I tell you what, you better have some fresh bread and fresh anointing when you get up to preach the Word of God.
Thank you.
It's vital, Brother Tommy.
Pray.
We have to. We have to have the voice and the Word of God each and every time we preach the Word of God. It's the call of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Woo.
Thank you, Lord.
The task is enormous. How can people hear about Jesus without a preacher? I didn't think I'd get this far, but all right, here we go. Number four. How shall they preach? Amen. Except they be sent. How can they preach except they be sent? Many pastors live a subpar life to preach the gospel. People say, well, amen, if I made money like them preachers did, there is some preachers that made. What is old Copeland, I think his name is, that has his own jet. They say that guy lives in the biggest house in his entire state. Lives in a mansion of a house. But that's far and few between. Some preachers make lots of money.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very, very small sector make lots of money. But did you know, for the most part, preachers make very little, so they can give their life as a servant to preach the gospel.
You're right.
Come on, man. Brother Phil, I was up there at his funeral, and he was actually a super smart guy. Prayed over governors, prayed over different important dignitaries of the state. But you know what he spent his life doing? He spent his life. Amen. They started a Christian school there in Richlands Tabernacle. He started in the 70s. I think it was 78, if I remember right. They started a Christian school. And he made very little all them years. Yeah. Up at that funeral, Brother Tommy, multiple of them got up and they stood up and they said, I am what I am today because this man invested in my life.
Yeah.
Whew. Look at that.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Praise God.
Amen. Thank God. And I had a preacher to invest in my life.
Amen.
The preacher's important. Did you know that?
Amen.
I don't know of anything any more important. I already said this once. If the milk don't show up, you ain't got milk. We've got to have a preacher.
Yeah. Amen.
And how you treat the preacher will determine whether you believe it or not, the hand of God on your life.
You're right.
God won't bless you, and God won't bless your life. If you're rude, mean, amen, disrespectful to the preacher.
Right.
True.
Right.
Is that all right?
It's all right.
I'm just telling you for your own good. You can treat me how you want. But I'm telling you what the Bible teaches.
Right. Yes.
Amen.
Right, Brother Jason.
How shall they preach except they be sent? Amen. God help us. You know, you can't do this unless you're sent.
Yeah.
You can't do this unless you're called.
You're right.
We was up there, and old Samuel Snow, he come up here at the funeral. We was out there sitting talking. Something got brought up about preachers are odd. I've always said that. Preachers are odd characters. You got to be odd to do this.
And I said,
you have to be on. I said, look at that guy. And I was pointing at old Samuel. He's a weird guy. I told him whose face he was. He started laughing. No, Paul Marquis was there beside us. He started laughing. Said, look, you think I'm weird? Look at that guy. Paul's weird. You've got to be weird. Preachers are weird.
Come on.
Yeah. It ain't going to take a desk man with a suit and tie on. Amen. Or a doctor ain't going to get out here and do this.
Yes,
sir. A ditch digger ain't going to do this. It takes a special man to carry a burden for a soul.
All right.
Woo! How can he do it unless he's sent? Unless he's called by God.
That's right.
Woo!
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
My, I appreciate the burden on my heart here today. Many pastors don't have no retirement. They don't have no money. Lots of pastors are in my boat. They're bivocational. They work. By far, the greater number of ministers live off incomes that are less than average. But guess who? Guess who God chooses, amen, and uses to save the world? Them odd characters I just told you about.
Yep.
Woo.
True. Yep.
It ain't the atheists and it ain't the billionaires that start mission works. That starts Red Crosses. That starts little missions over here helping the poor, amen, and helping the sick. It's them odd guys.
Yeah.
Woo. All right. It's a blessed roll-offs, Brother Tommy, who was an odd cookie.
Yeah.
But you know what? He fed, I don't know how many hundreds, amen, of
yes,
little children.
Yes, he did.
In his foster houses down there in Texas for years and years. It's the George Muellers that prayed him. They said, when after his life was done, they said, a lot of times people don't understand really how important you are until you're gone. But when George Mueller died, they said, they guess that guy prayed him $7 million. And I'm talking about years, decades ago. They said he prayed him $7 million. Same thing. Fed them orphanages and orphans. They come to him one time. They actually had to interrupt him. He was praying on his knees. He was down praying. And they come and they said, Mr. Mueller, we're down and we don't have anything else to feed the kids later. And he said, Lord, let us pray. And they got down and prayed. And it wasn't long. Somebody come in and they backed in van loads of food.
Yeah.
Woo! How can it be done unless you're sent and unless you're called? Stand with me in this house right here tonight. I preach to you the burden on my heart. It's not the atheist groups that build the hospitals and the feeding stations. It's the missions. Amen. I just pray that we can touch a heart, touch a life. Paul's line to the Romans in which he quoted, listen to this, the prophet Isaiah, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.
Yes, sir.
Thank God.
Yes, sir.
For the preached word of God.
Holy God, yeah. Holy.
Why don't we take the time to be holy right here tonight and get in an altar and say, God, I thank you for the gospel. I thank you for the preached word of God. I thank you, Lord, for what it's done to me in my life. And I pray, Lord, moving forward, that you'd help me to be used. God, my life can be used to spread the gospel. And I believe in the power of the word of God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's get these altars right here tonight. I preach to you my burden in my heart. I preach to you the best I can right here. Amen. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to believe in the gospel. Power.
Lord God. Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my mind. Oh, rose and shame, show me how to grow with you. Oh, your word.